Welcome back. This is another episode of From Dude to Dad. I am Brian Laurel.
And I am Chris Pagula.
Every single damn week, we talk about being a dad, things that you can do to be a better father, better husband, better man. Maybe that's a little overstatement, but...
Better human being.
Yes.
I guess.
Sure. Why not?
But you're still a man, so I guess a better man.
Yeah, exactly. Today, we're going to talk about social media. And I don't know how we've gotten this far into the podcast and not really dedicated an episode to this, but we're going to talk about monitoring your kids' social media, making sure that that they're safe. You know, what age is a good time for them to start dabbling in social media? Seems like it's getting younger and younger. We're going to talk about some things that you can do to keep your kids protected. And then we're going to talk about, as adults, maybe our own social media, and once your kids are getting older and are aware of it and can go on and look at your profile, maybe there's some things that you should be aware of as well. So, Chris, first of all, your kids are probably at the age where you had to make a decision, you know, X number of years ago, like, is it time for them to have a phone? Is it time for them to have a Facebook account or Instagram? So how did you go about allowing your kids to start interacting with others that they don't know and you don't know?
Well, I have to just preface this by saying, I think like my generation was the first, our generation, if you will, because we're both the same age, were the first in terms of like having their kids deal with the social media and cell phone access, because we didn't have cell phones to the a degree, you know, with social media and the advancement of technology today back then. You know, I'm talking 20 some years ago when my first was born. And it was challenging because you have to deal with not only, you know, whether or not you have other children and one gets one at one age and then the other one's expecting to receive a phone sooner because the older one has it, but also with peers and their peers and what other parents do. So there's a full on, I'm not really answering your question. I'm just giving another issue that, like, you know, is posed that you have to deal with multiple things. So going back to our kids, I think we ended up giving in around sixth grade, I'd say.
Okay.
Because
that seems reasonable.
Yeah, other kids were having it. And also it was kind of like, ooh, wait, we can have contact with our child to keep them safe. That's actually something that I think, you know, parents feel better about. So you're like, okay, you can have this phone so we can get in contact with you. Of course, as kids get older and, you know, more advanced technologically, they end up figuring out ways to not let you find out where they're at and how to track them and all that fun stuff. So, but sixth grade, especially if your kid is independent and going to school on their own, I mean, maybe younger these days because, you know, kids at, you know, parents are giving their children iPads, you know, from a very early age. And again, we didn't have that experience when my kids were young. So what about you? Because your daughters are
yeah, they're, I mean, they're nowhere close to ever having to, I shouldn't say ever, they're nowhere close to having a phone right now. I mean, my oldest daughter's in kindergarten. So the other one isn't even in preschool yet. So they will, I'm not going to have to deal with this for a while, but I do have friends who had kids at an earlier age than I did. And have had to deal with a lot of ugliness and the things that you hear about the cyberbullying and the, you know, the phishing, the catfishing, and the there's so much out there that is basically a phone now is a window to the world, and it's a connectivity to anybody anywhere, and people can get to your kids. And they can say some messed up things to your kids that can hurt their feelings. It could be their classmates. It could be someone they don't know. But then, as we all know, somebody can also start messing with your kids' heads and start sending them things, which we've all seen articles and heard stories about, where the kids were basically being kind of stalked from afar by somebody and told, if you say anything to your parents, I will kill your parents.
Oh my God.
I will, like, some ugly, ugly stuff. And so, and then it gets into, you know, depending on the age, you can start getting into the sexting and the sending pictures. And if you tell anybody
about this.
Dude,
we've gone down that road with stuff that, like, you know, people have approached people, I shouldn't say. I mean, keeping it non-specific, but I had to deal with that specific issue and it was not fun. It was upsetting.
Yeah, it's very, I can only imagine, but knowing how kids are, if someone's you know, if they're young and impressionable and someone's telling them, hey, do this or I'm going to kill your family, then the kid is going to freak out. And if you tell your parents, I will find out and I will break into your house. I will kidnap, like some messed up things that people do. So you really, I mean, sixth grade to me seems pretty reasonable. I do know, and this is no judgment if you're a parent and you have kids and you gave them their own phone at a younger age, but I do feel like you're right, Chris, with iPads and even phones, they're kind of used as pacifiers, like in the car, mm-hmm. like with my kid, I'll put my phone in airplane mode so they can't really get to the outside world. But there are some apps that are on there that are kid friendly apps, like educational things. And I'll let them play with that in the car. If my youngest is being especially unruly, or the challenge also that we have is when we go somewhere late in the day, if we're running errands or something, if my kid takes a nap after like 1 o'clock, I am screwed that mm-hmm. night. Like my kid will not go to bed before like 11:30. So we give her this Leapfrog pad, which I would suggest if you haven't heard of them, it's more of a toy, but it's an educational pad and they're, you know, fairly reasonably priced. They're definitely a lot cheaper than a Kindle Fire or an iPad. But we give that to her to just kind of keep her awake. And that is not connected to the outside world at all. Just whatever resides on that pad is what's what. So, yeah, so I don't have to deal with that right now. But I know that it's probably coming because, as with all things in the world, sadly, kids are getting younger and younger and being given things because their friends are. And you do have to give into that pressure.
You know, Brian, I'm just thinking something came to my mind as you were, you know, speaking about the cell phones and the age thing is that when, say, if you are a parent that's giving your child a cell phone for the first time, what you just mentioned is a great thing to tell them, saying, listen, this is just to know for the future. If you ever get a text from somebody that is such and such or says this, or if someone's threatening you, if that, like you need to tell us, we are here to protect you. And this is a guy, you know, this is for emergency situations only. But there's
having that talk sitting down, I would almost make it a thing. Like we're sitting down right in the living room, TV's off. If there's other siblings around that are not involved, they're off doing their own thing. And you have your phone and the phone they're going to receive, and you give them some ground rules. And one of which, yeah. I mean, Chris, you were talking about, you know, how, you know, you can track the phones where they're at from, you know, GPS, and kids are savvy and know how to turn it off. That would be, if my child's old enough to kind of know how to maneuver around this and doesn't want me to know, I would also say, if this ever gets turned off, you're losing this phone for like a month or something like really harsh. Like,
yeah,
this is also a safety thing to make sure that we know where you're at. And I know that some parents, definitely kids, but some parents are probably thinking, well, that's kind of an invasion of their privacy and I don't want to be a hover parent.
Not and stuff. Until they're 18 and adults.
Yeah, I mean, you protecting your child that is in fact a child.
You know, on the flip side, Brian, there are cell phones, and I think companies that are specifically making phones that are only like free phone lines or phone numbers that you can store in it, and it's only a phone, so it's only for emergency situations only. And I think that you can't disarm the tracking portion of it. So, you know, there's certainly, and I didn't do research into find out which companies are doing it, but I'm sure you can Google search and find phones like that if you're concerned about having too much access for your child.
Yeah, because that's also one of the worries, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much, but it's just too much screen time, right? I mean, they probably watch TV, they stream things, depending on how old your kids are. They probably have an Xbox or a PlayStation, and they're playing that. And then on top of that, yeah, they do, perhaps they have an iPad, and they may need that for school, depending on how old they are. But they, of course, have games on there, and they're watching YouTube videos, and it's a lot. And so a phone like that, if you really want your child to have access to getting in touch with you. And like Chris said, and there are a number of phones like that. And if you Google them, you'll be easily be able to find one that just stores just a few numbers. It's, you know, it's you, it's your wife, and it's you know, a grandparent or something. And I think 911 is always one that's allowed and as part of the group of phones. But there's no touchscreen, there's no games, there's no, it's really a dumbed down phone, but that's a good way to kind of start from a responsibility standpoint, giving something like that to your child to take care of. And it's not fun for them. and they may see their friends have something else and may get made fun of, but that's a conversation you have beforehand that, you know, hey, if you can do well with this phone for the next year, then maybe for your 8th birthday, you can have a upgraded phone. So,
you know, Brian, another, conversation when you're giving the phone could be that if your phone is an iPhone that they're getting something advanced like that, you know, what apps can be downloaded and social media, which what we wanted to speak about, because, you know, social media again is the, you know, entry to the world, you know, you get exposure to everything. And, you know, while the responsibility, I think, does lie on apps like Instagram and Facebook to be limited by age, kids lie and you can get around that, you know, and even create, I was going to say burner accounts, like I'm watching some spy movie or something, but like fake accounts that your kids don't know about. And this was something, you know, jumping to high school. If you don't, I don't know if you're even aware of this, but colleges at some point, I think, look research because of social media. They can check out everything about your kids. So they're more exposed. And I remember when my kids were in high school, they ended up changing their Facebook profile name by senior year so that they wouldn't be tracked by schools. And that's something that everybody does
to hide is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. And it's weird because they'll make weird names and I'm like, what is going on? Why is this person changing their name? And then, you know, you end up becoming like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Is this what they're doing? It's crazy how kids can figure out every way around anything.
Right.
You know, to get exposure. So just to keep a heads up for the future dads out there. So you know that this is something, you know, because we didn't have social media when we were kids. So,
so I want to talk real quick about a couple of apps that as a parent, you can sync with the phone you're giving your child to monitor what they're doing. One of the best reviewed one is called Bark, B-A-R-K.
Oh, I heard of that.
This is it tracks their social media accounts. It tracks all their activity. It kind of basically records, in a sense, what happens on their phone. Any texts that they send or receive, you see. And this is a 24/7, you know, monitoring thing. It also includes email. If they have access to email, you can read the contents of it. And then you can set, the great thing about this particular one is they worked with child psychologists and law enforcement. And so there's keywords and phrases, and it can even detect tone of emails and texts. And so like if someone says, you know, stop texting, this is on their website, you know, stop texting us, you're so lame. Well, lame isn't like an inflammatory, I mean, it is when you're a kid, but it's not the F word. It's not, you know, sex. It's not, but it has a bunch of keywords that it will flag and send you an immediate alert that you need to be, and then it will categorize it as, you know, cyberbullying or, you know, inappropriate content or whatever. And there's content filtering, screen time management. You can see not only how long they're on the phone, but you can see where they're on the phone. So it will geotag where they're at. And let's say it's school and you can look on and be like, why the hell were they on their phone for 2 hours at school?
Right.
And then you can have that conversation. You can also set limits. If they reach a certain limit, then the phone is inoperable, or it would still work for the likes of like 911.
Emergency,
you can also limit access to Facebook. Say, okay, you can have 30 minutes of Facebook a day. So make the most of it, because once you hit 30 days, then you're locked out of it. There's a lot you can do. And then that starts out as like at $5 a month. There's other ones. There's one called M Spy. There's one called Screen Time. Screen Time actually, I don't think has the best reviews of all the ones that I looked at before we started recording. Bark is definitely the best, and it monitors, I think, like 40 or 50 different social media outlets. And, you know, and now that you have like TikTok and all these, you know, these other social media applications, and kids are just doing the dumbest shit on there. They're doing, you know, different challenges that are dangerous. So they're dancing in their bras and panties. And these are all things that are, you know, horrifying for a parent of any age, a child of any age, but especially if they're really young. you know, you may find yourself really grateful that you have one of these monitoring things. And the great thing about it is it's better than, let me see your phone.
Right.
And they're standing there and you're scrolling through their phone and reading their texts, because that's a little demeaning. I mean, you're trusting them to a certain degree, but you're also still being a parent. And this gives you the opportunity to monitor their phone and look at their phone from afar, so you're not embarrassing them, and, you know, God willing, they're being responsible, and you can feel good about the decision to give them that phone.
So, Brian, now that we mentioned talking about what kid, you know, how you can monitor your kids, I think it's important to also talk about monitoring yourself, because having your own social media account, and now that your kids may have one, chances are they're following you. And so you got to be smart about what you're posting, because you're an example. Again, dads, you know, unfortunately, it all relies on our shoulders as parents, but it's the truth. So you got to be careful of how you post and what you say.
Yeah. And frankly, probably when your kids are getting to that age where they are going to be on social media, you should probably do kind of an inventory of your social media and go way back to the beginning. You know, you're sitting in front of a football game, just sit there with your phone and just go through from the beginning and delete some shit, because there's probably things on there. I mean, Chris and I were talking about this the other day, that when I was dating my wife, this is like right before we got married, we were just looking at social. I was looking at hers, she was looking at mine, and she went back far enough, and there was a picture of me in a bar in, you know, downtown Scottsdale, Arizona, having the time of my life, and I'm like making out with this girl, and my wife is like, well, my girlfriend at the time, her fiance, she was like, who's this? I'm like, oh, that's an ex-girlfriend. And she's like, oh, okay. And she didn't ask me to delete it or anything, but I'm like, I should probably get rid of that. So same thing with your kids. You know, you're whatever, you're token on a, you know, on a bong, or you're wasted, you're shit faced, and there's video of you jumping off a balcony into a swimming pool, or you're making out with some chick, or, you know, as far as your wife goes, she's taking, you know, selfies in front of the mirror in a, you know, tiny bikini. You know, these are the type of things that when it's just you and you don't have anybody else to worry about and you don't give a shit, then it's no big deal. But once you become a parent, do you want your kids seeing that sort of stuff? So not only being careful what you post now, but going back and looking at what you posted before. And Chris, I do think that that's a good idea. I mean, switching the identity is pretty funny before you go off to college, but that's really something that can bite you in the ass with, you know, and I know that kids and even adults, depending on posts they've done in the past, can, you know, hurt them with not only colleges, but getting jobs.
And
maintaining jobs. So just kind of
it's a whole other world now. Like, you really are basically, it reminds me of the Orwell book, you know, 1984? Is it 1984?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was going to say 94. That's how
that was the sequel. That was the sequel. Was not as not.
But
as...
it's like you're constantly being watched, you know. And I think the good thing, this is actually something that I remember repeating to myself as a parent. You know, whenever I'd be frustrated with my kids tantruming or like different things going on, that like you're in the spotlight, you're always being watched. So it's almost like you want to react in a way that's appropriate, you know. So. You know, with your kids, you want to let them know that you're constantly with this device, always being viewed. So you want to make sure that you're using it properly, because it's a huge responsibility.
It is a responsibility. And kids also, they look at it, and unfortunately, that's the way of the world now. But it is the number of likes that they get, or if they're on TikTok, it's, you know, the number of little hearts that they get. And there's going to be a time when you may have to talk to your kids about, you know, being a YouTube star. And if that's all they aspire to, you're going to have that talk with them. Like, okay, fine. If you want to do this YouTube crap, that's fine, but you got it. That can't be your life plan. You know, you need to go to school. You need to get a job. You need to, but until then, the draw to social media is getting those likes and having that interaction. And the thing that I think kids don't think about is they think only their friends, their small circle of friends, are really looking at this. But it's really easy for anybody, anywhere,
anyone
to look up anybody. Or if you put in, you know, certain tag words, if you're on, you know, TikTok and you're putting in tag words for, you know, whatever, someone else can search that and easily find you. And kids, and the older kids, are actually banking on that. They want to be, you know, They want to be Instagram famous. They want to be TikTok famous. They want millions of people following them. And, you know, some of them want to parlay that into making some money. But as a parent, that's where it goes back to these monitoring devices. And then just flat out, Chris, just talking face to face with your kids.
Right.
And if something does happen, if something is getting flagged, that you have that conversation and you pivot from there and decide, you know, well, maybe my kid really isn't old enough for this yet, or maybe they're old enough for this, but I'm going to block TikTok, or they're old enough for, you know, Twitter, but I'm only going to limit it to a certain number of minutes a day. So kids probably aren't on Twitter a whole lot now. But my point is that it's, you know, with all of this, in this episode, we just want you to take away, you know, really you and your significant other should be thinking about, is our child old enough for a phone, and not peer pressure, or is my child, because kids, as we know, are different. And some kids are super mature, and that may be the classmate that has the iPhone in fifth grade. If your kid is super immature and does dumb shit all the time and is always getting in trouble or whatever, maybe you're, you know, sadly, maybe your kid isn't ready for a phone just yet.
Well, that's something I was just going to say. Like my youngest was so advanced at electronics that, like, if we had prevented him from being curious and exploring, he never would have been, like, you know, as advanced as he is today. I mean, mining for Bitcoin and all that fun stuff, you know, at age 17. But right. It's something to actually, as the parent, you have to monitor and see if your child has that inclination and that talent for electronics. You want to support it, but you want to do it in a respectful and a responsible way. And that's what it's about, you know. So, you know, not to, social media is amazing, but just, you know, use it responsibly, both as a parent and to teach your child how to do it responsibly.
That's a beautiful way to wrap this up. Thank you for listening to this episode from Dude to Dad, and we will talk to you next time. Have a good one.